الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. كنا تحدثنا البارحة عن بعض الصفات التي ينبغي أن يكون عليها الداعية إلى الله، يعني طالب العلم الذي يدعو إلى الله يعلم الناس، توجد فيه صفات ذكرنا بعضها وسنتمم بعضها وباختصار إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى، حتى ننتقل إلى الموضوع الذي يليه. فمن الصفات أيضا العناية باللغة العربية، أن يتعلم اللغة العربية لأنها لغة الدين، بها يفهم القرآن الكريم ويفهم السنة المطهرة، يعرف المعاني، يعرف المقصود من الآية. عندما كان ينزل القرآن في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، كان بعض مشركي قريش يدخل في الإسلام بسماعه لآية، لأنهم يفهمون ما جاء من الله عز وجل القرآن الكريم، ويعلمون علم اليقين أنه ليس بشعر وليس من قول البشر، كما تعلمون كما هو في تفسير سورة المدثر. فمعرفة اللغة العربية أمر مهم يجب على طالب العلم وعلى الداعية إلى الله أن يتقنه قدر الإمكان. وكما تعلمون، عندما تأتي إلى حكم شرعي وأنت لا تحسن اللغة العربية، يصعب حتى ترجمته إلى لغة أخرى، لأنه بلغة عربية، وقد أنزل الله عز وجل القرآن بلسان عربي مبين واضح. لذا ينبغي على كل من أراد أن يطلب العلم أن يجعل في مقدمة طلب العلم اللغة العربية، لأنها من الوسائل المهمة التي تؤدي إلى فهم الدين الفهم الصحيح.
In the name of Allah, we begin, and all praise due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, and may the peace and salutations be upon the chief of the prophets and mankind. To precede our noble brother Abu Hatim, may Allah preserve him, he greeted everyone with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And he said, we discussed yesterday some of the attributes of the caller to Allah, and some of the attributes of the student of knowledge, which they should adorn themselves with, those people who teach the people. And we mentioned some of the attributes, and inshallah we'll conclude or we continue to mention the rest of them briefly. So from the attributes of the caller to Allah and a student of knowledge is to give care to learning the Arabic language, to give importance to learning the Arabic language, meaning that the person should learn it because it is a way that the person understands the religion, and he understands the Quran and the Sunnah, and he also understands the meanings and the intent behind each verse. When the Quran was being revealed, some of the polytheists at the time, some of the mushrikeen at the time of the revelation of the Quran, some of the polytheists of Quraysh, they used to enter into Islam due to one verse they used to hear. This is due to the fact that they used to understand that it came from Allah Azza wa Jal, and they used to know with certainty that it is not a poetry, and it is not from the speech of mankind, as can be found in the explanation of Surah Al-Mudathir. So understanding or learning the Arabic language is a very important matter, and it is upon the student of knowledge and the caller to Allah to be proficient in the Arabic language as much as possible. And as you all know, when you come to legislation or a ruling in a legislation, a ruling in Islam, and you do not know or you are not proficient in the Arabic language, it becomes even difficult for the person and hard to even translate it into another language. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He revealed the Quran in a clear Arabic tongue. Therefore, it is a must that whosoever wishes to seek knowledge, place learning Arabic at the forefront of the seeking of knowledge. And this is because it is from the important methods into understanding the religion.
أيضا من الصفات التي ينبغي أن يحرص عليها طالب العلم والداعية إلى الله عز وجل كثرة الاستشهاد بالقرآن الكريم وبالقصص التي جاءت فيه وبالأمثال ووعده ووعيده وكذا بالقصص والأمثال التي جاءت في صحيح السنة النبوية على صاحبها الصلاة والسلام لأن فيها العظة والعبرة لا كما يفعله بعض القصاصين اليوم من الحكايات التي لا صحة لها يزعمون أنهم يرققون قلوب الناس وأنهم يعيدونهم إلى الحق مما يصل بهم أحيانا إلى أن يكذبوا يتعمد الكذب حتى يرجع السامع إلى الله عز وجل فيتوب والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كان قصصه فيه موعظة وكذلك القرآن الكريم ومن يتأمل ما حدث للأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام في القصص قصة إبراهيم وقصة موسى وقصة عيسى وأنبياء الله كما وردت في القرآن الكريم يجد فيها العظة والعبرة إذا لم يفهم من القرآن كما قلنا البارحة يكون بجانبه التفسير حتى يوضح له المعاني التي هي غامضة عليه لأنه ما كل من يقرأ القرآن يفهمه والسبب بعد الناس عن اللغة العربية الفصحى التي نزل بها القرآن لا يستخدمونها في حديثهم ربما تسمع في المحاضرات أو في اللقاءات ولكن في لغة الشارع كما نقول يستخدمون الدارجة العامية وهذا يجعل فجوة بين الإنسان بين المسلم وبين فهم معاني القرآن والسنة فعلى كل حكيم إذا قرأ القرآن أن يجعل بجانبه تفسيرا للقرآن الكريم قلت لكم يكفي مواعظ القرآن ووعده ووعيده عندما تقرأ بعض الآيات تجد فيها العظة والعبرة ولكن هل من مدكر لابد أن تفهم ما يراد قوله ما الذي حدث في هذه القصة لا تقرأ كما تقرأ الجرائد أو المجلات وكذا وإنما يجب وجوبا أن يفهم القرآن حتى يتلذذ به قارئه وتقرأ السنة ويتلذذ بها قارئها بفهمها كان بعض السلف إذا مر بمثل في القرآن لا يعرفه بكى يقول لأن الله عز وجل قال وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس وما يعقلها إلا العالمون أنه خرج من هذا الصنف يبكي تحسرا أنه لا يفهم مثل ورد في القرآن أو في السنة، وذلك من خوفهم أن يقبلوا على الله عز وجل وهم لا يعلمون ما في القرآن ولا ما في صحيح السنة. ذكرني أحيانا أطيل عليك.
نعم. Now, also from the attributes which the student of knowledge and the caller to Allah should give great care to and also in implementing them is to quote from the Quran a lot and also quote from the stories which are mentioned in the Quran and the examples of the people and also of the punishments of Allah and his threats and his promises. Likewise, also in the stories which are found in the Sunnah and upon which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated and the things which happened with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon him the most the best peace and salutations, and also you find the great reminders and admonitions in the Quran, and this is the way, and it should not be done as some people do, or some of these storytellers they come with and they narrate stories which have no basis and have no basis of truth for, and they claim that these stories soften the hearts of the people, and sometimes they reach a level where those storytellers that they would end up lying and making up lies so that they try to make the people repent and return to Allah's way. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are stories and also admonitions and reminders. Likewise in the Quran, and whosoever ponders over what happened and what that which took place at the time of the prophets, like the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa and Isa, and also the rest and remaining prophets of Allah, as mentioned and as found in the Quran, the person would find in them great reminders. So if the person does not understand the Quran, as we mentioned yesterday, then he should use the tafsir, interpretation of the Quran, the books of tafsir, so that the books of tafsir clarify for him the meaning or behind the verses. This is because not everyone or not every person who reads the Quran understands it. And the reason for this, why not everyone understands the Quran, is how people distance themselves away from the Arabic language and from learning the Arabic language. And you would see that they would only speak Arabic, fluent Arabic, or listen to fluent Arabic only in the times of lectures and so on. As for when they're in the street or mixing with the people, they would use slang. And this causes difficulty for the person to understand the Quran. This gives, due to this, the person finds difficulty and hardship in understanding the Quran. So upon every wise person is to, try to read the Quran and learn it, and if you cannot understand it, then use tafsir, use a book which explain and clarify the meanings of the Quran. So the admonitions and the threats which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in his noble book, they are sufficient for us. And it is a must that the person understands, and he strives to understand that which took place in when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a story. And he should ponder over the Quran. He should not read it like how the person reads a newspaper or a magazine and the likes. And it is a must, or it is an obligation upon the person to understand the Quran, so that he takes so that he enjoys reading the Quran and he takes heed from it. And likewise, the same goes for the Sunnah. Some of the Salaf, when they used to read the Quran and they pass by a verse which they do not understand, they used to cry. And when they were asked, why do you cry when you do not understand the verse, he will mention the verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. And those examples, we put them forth to the people, and none understand them except those who have knowledge. So the person, he cries out of pity for himself that he does not understand this verse. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse that only those with knowledge understand those our examples. And this is due to their fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
أيضا من الصفات التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها طالب العلم والداعية إلى الله عز وجل أن يكون حكيما في طرحه للموعظة، ألا تكون طويلة فيمل الناس، ومعنى ذلك أن تكون مختصرة مفيدة. وإذا جاء بما في القرآن وبما في صحيح السنة فإنه سيأتي بها مختصرة مفيدة، ولكن هذه الأيام يكون هناك حاجز بين من يسمع وبين من يلقي، فما كل الناس يفهم جوامع الكلم، يعني إن أعطي جملة تحمل في طياتها المعاني الكثيرة ربما لا يفهمها. إذن ليس تقصير الموعظة على كل حال، وإنما لا مانع أن يطال في الموعظة، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطب الناس يوما كاملا. روى عمرو بن أخطب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الفجر فصعد المنبر فخطب، خطب الناس حتى جاء وقت الظهر، ثم نزل فصلى الظهر، ثم صعد المنبر فخطب الناس حتى جاء وقت العصر، ثم نزل فصلى، ثم خطب بهم حتى جاء وقت المغرب. المعذرة. يقول الراوي: حتى دخل أهل الجنة الجنة وأهل النار النار، يعني بين لهم كل شيء. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو أسوتنا وقدوتنا، خطب الناس يوما كاملا. إذن لا يمنع أن يطيل الخطيب في الجمعة قليلا، أو المحاضر في محاضرته، أو من يلقي الدرس في درسه أن يطيل قليلا، وعلى المستمع أن يصبر ويكون في ذهنه أن هذا المجلس بحول الله وقوته سيكون في ميزان حسناته. إذا جاءه مثل هذا التفكير فإنه سيجلس مرتاحا، يعني يطمئن، يعرف أنه كم طالت المدة زاد الأجر. ولكن كما قلت لكم، ما بين الفينة والأخرى، ما بين الوقت والوقت الآخر، يطيل ويقصر. لا تكون الدروس طويلة جدا فيمل الناس. إذن من الحكمة أن تكون بحسب المقام، أحيانا تستدعي الإطالة. وأنا أطلت
لا تفضل تبارك الله تفضل.
وأحيانا تستدعي أن تكون مختصرة، يعني يراوح بين هذا وبين ذاك.
Also from the attributes of the caller to Allah and the student of knowledge is that he should be a wise person. He should have wisdom in the way that he puts forth and he delivers the admonition and the lecture. It should not be يعني too long so that the people would get bored, and it should be يعني a brief beneficial يعني admonition or lecture. And if he يعني uses that which came in the Quran, the verse which came in the Quran, and the narrations which are found in the Sunnah, then he will use them anyway in a brief way or in a summarized manner. And also, however nowadays there is a barrier between the listeners and the one or the lecturer, between the lecturer and the listeners. And if the person who's giving the lecture or delivering the reminder, he speaks with جوامع الكلم, يعني with the most comprehensive speech, يعني words or statements with a few in words but hold large meanings. Some of the people do not understand those يعني statements. So there is no harm and there is no يعني prohibition that the person sometimes he prolongs يعني the reminder or the lecture. So that you do not shorten the lecture or the dars or the khutbah يعني all the time. Sometimes you need to prolong it. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it has been narrated that he delivered a lecture or a sermon for a whole day. He delivered a sermon for a whole day. Amr ibn Akhtab, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed Fajr, he led Fajr for us, and then he climbed the minbar, the pulpit, and he delivered a sermon until the time of Dhuhr came. Then he descended and he led Salat al-Dhuhr. Then he went up again and continued the sermon and a lecture until the time of Asr came. And then he came down and he led Salat al-Asr, and then he went up and he continued delivering the sermon, and he came down until he prayed Maghrib, and then he went up and until the time of Isha came, and he came down and he led Isha. So he delivered the sermon for a whole day. And the narrator, he said, continued the narration, he said, he told us until everything that was going to happen until the people of paradise will enter paradise, until the people of hellfire entered hellfire. So he clarified everything. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our example, and he is our role model. He delivered a sermon for a whole day, a complete day. So it is not prohibited, and there's no harm that the person sometimes he prolongs the sermon of Jum'ah a little bit, or the person who's a lecturer, he is delivering a lecture, that he prolongs it sometimes, and upon the one who's listening and the one who's attending, to remain patient, and also to always think that as long as he's in that, sitting in that position, that with the will of Allah, he will be rewarded, and this reward will be in the scales of his good deeds in the day of judgment. If the person does so, if this person, the listener, does so, then he will be comfortable sitting and listening, and he will be in a state of tranquility, and he will understand that as long as the lecture takes time, then the reward will increase as well. However, from time to time, the person should prolong. Sometimes he prolongs it, and sometimes he makes it short and brief. So, the person should not prolong it so much that the people would get bored. But to do it and vary between them, sometimes you prolong and sometimes you make it brief according to the need of the people.
من باب الإضافة فقط جاء في الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه من الفقه أن يقصر الخطيب الخطبة يوم الجمعة ويطيل الصلاة، هذا هو الغالب، لكن لا يمنع إن مرة أو مرتين أطال في الخطبة من أجل التوضيح للناس لا من أجل الإعادة، أن يعيد ويكرر ما قاله، إنما من باب التوضيح للناس لا يمنع ذلك ولا يعاب عليه، ولكن كما قلنا إطالة بدون أن يمل الناس وبدون أن يتعبهم وبدون أن يشق عليهم، فإنه لا ضرر ولا ضرار.
نعم. Also as an addition, our brother Abu Hatim al-Abazami said, as also an addition to what we have said, it has been narrated in the hadith that it is from the understanding of the person that he makes his khutbah, the khutbah of Jum'ah, to make it short and to prolong the prayer of Jum'ah. And this should be in the majority on most times and the majority of occasions. However, it is not prohibited, and there's no harm that sometimes the person he prolongs the sermon of Jum'ah for the purpose of clarifying some things to the people, not for the for the purpose of repeating things which he already said, but only to clarify for the people. So this is not prohibited, there's no harm in this, and he should not be told off or disapproved of because of this action. However, the person when he prolongs should be in a way that the people would not get bored and without causing them to be exhausted and tired.
هذه بعض الصفات التي ينبغي أن يتحلى بها الداعية إلى الله تبارك وتعالى وطالب العلم، وهناك صفات أخرى وأخرى على كل واحد أن يبحث فيجد. أنا أردت أن أختصر اختصارا لننتقل إلى موضوع آخر، وهو وصف الله تعالى للمؤمنين ووصف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لهم أيضا، حتى نكون منهم. ننظر بما وصفهم الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم، وبما وصفهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصحيح من الحديث. قال الله عز وجل: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض، يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة، ويطيعون الله ورسوله، أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. ووصفهم أيضا بقوله عز وجل: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون، الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون، أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا، لهم درجات عند ربهم ومغفرة ورزق كريم. وقال الله عز وجل: وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا. هذه بعض أوصاف المؤمنين في القرآن الكريم من الله تبارك وتعالى.
Now, so these are some of the attributes of which the caller to Allah should adorn himself with, and likewise the student of knowledge. And there are also many other attributes. It is upon every person to look for them and find them. And I just wanted to summarize a few of them so that we can move on to another topic. And it is the description of Allah, the description of the believers, how Allah described the believers and how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them, so that we become from them. So how Allah Azza wa Jal, He described the believers in the Quran, and how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them in the authentic narrations from the Sunnah. So Allah Ta'ala said, after seeking refuge in Him, and the believers, males and females, they are companions or friends of one another. They command the good and they forbid the evil, and they establish the prayer and they pay the zakah and they obey Allah and His Messenger. Those will be covered in mercy, or those will be, Allah will be merciful to them. Indeed, Allah is one with all dignity and all wisdom. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another verse, indeed the believers are those who, when the Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble, and when His verses are recited unto them, that it increases them in faith, and they rely upon their Lord. Those who establish the prayer and spend from that which we have bestowed upon them, those are the true believers. They have ranks with Allah and forgiveness and good and noble provision. And also He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another verse, Allah had promised those who believed from amongst you and did righteous deeds that He will allow them to inherit the land, as He allowed those who preceded them to inherit it. And He will establish their religion for them, which He is pleased with. And He will replace after their insecurity with security. Worshipping me, they do not assign any partners to me.
وقد وصفهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أي وصف المؤمنين بالبنيان، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا. ووصفهم أيضا بأنهم كأعضاء الجسد الواحد، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد، إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى.
نعم. Also the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he described the believers as a building which supports the parts of the building supporting one another. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the believer to another believer is like a building, or the parts of the building supporting each other or supporting one another, so that the building remains firm and established. And he also described him sallallahu alaihi wasallam that as being parts or the limbs of a particular body. And he said the example of the believers in their way of showing mercy to one another, and the way they for having love for one another is like the body. When any part of the body or any limb of the body is in pain, the rest of the body suffers and remains up in the night.
ثم أيضا نريد أن نتحدث عن بعض صفات حزب الله المفلحين الذين ذكرهم الله عز وجل في القرآن. من صفاتهم المحبة لله والمحبة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما قال الله تعالى في القرآن: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله، يعني أن من يعبد شيئا يحبه كما يفعل من يعبد غير الله. ولكن ذكر الله عز وجل بأن المؤمنين أشد حبا لله من أولئك لمعبوداتهم. وقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن حلاوة الإيمان وطعمه لا يوجدان لدى العبد إلا بالمحبة الصادقة لله ولرسوله وللمؤمنين، حيث قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان: أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما، وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله، وأن يكره أن يعود إلى الكفر بعد إذ أنقذه الله منه كما يكره أن يقذف في النار.
نعم، our noble brother Abu Hatim, may Allah preserve him and be kind to him, he said that we want to talk about some of the attributes also of the Hizbullah, the party of Allah, the successful ones. And from the attributes is their love for Allah. From the attributes of the party of Allah is their love for Allah and His Messenger. Allah Ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, and those who believed are in more love for Allah. Meaning that whosoever worships something, then he has love for it. Just like those who worship other than Allah do. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned that the believers have more love for Allah than those people have love for that which they worship. And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he informed us that the sweetness of Iman cannot be achieved by the servant except by way of love of Allah and His Messenger and the believers. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said three things or three attributes, or if any person has them, he would find the sweetness of Iman. The first one is that the person loves Allah and His Messenger. The first one is that Allah and His Messenger will be dearer to him than anyone other than them. And the second one is that he loves the person, or he loves a person, and he does not love him except for Allah's sake. And that the last one is that he dislikes and he hates to go back into disbelief, just like he would hate it to be thrown in the fire.
ثم لننظر إلى الحديث الذي في الصحيحين الذي ينبغي ويجب على كل شخص منا، على كل مسلم ومسلمة، أن يتأمله. حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الحديث: فوالذي نفسي بيده لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده، وفي رواية: والناس أجمعين. يعني أن يحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من محبته لوالده وولده ولنفسه وللناس أجمعين. وقد جاء أن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال يا رسول الله، بعد أن سمع هذا الحديث قال يا رسول الله: والله لأنت أحب إلي من كل شيء إلا من نفسي. قال: لا يا عمر. قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يا عمر، حتى أكون أحب إليك من نفسك. فقال: والله لأنت أحب إلي من نفسي. فقال: الآن يا عمر.
After that, let us look towards the hadith which is found in the Sahihain, the hadith which every person, every Muslim, male and female, should ponder over and should study. The hadith of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by the one whose my soul is in his hand, none of you shall believe except until that I am dearer to him than his father and his offspring or his children, and in another narration, and the whole of mankind. So the person has to love the Messenger of Allah more than himself and his offspring and his father and the rest of mankind. Also, it has been narrated that Umar ibn al-Khattab, after hearing this hadith, he said, O Messenger of Allah, Indeed, you are dearer to me than everything and everyone except myself. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, until that I am dearer to you than your own self. Then Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, he said after that, now, O Messenger of Allah, you are dearer to me than my own self. Then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, now, O Umar.
وَلَقَدْ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ يَسْأَلُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ وَالْحَدِيثُ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ أَيْضًا. جاء رجل يسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الساعة، يعني متى تقوم الساعة، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وما أعددت لها؟ يعني ما العمل الذي عملته من أجل أن تسأل متى قيام الساعة؟ فقال: ما أعددت لها من كثير صلاة ولا صوم ولا صدقة، ولكني أحب الله ورسوله. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنت مع من أحببت. إذن من هذا الحديث يؤخذ أن يحب الله عز وجل ويقدر حق قدره، وأن يعرفه المسلم والمسلمة، أن يعرف توحيد الألوهية وتوحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات، وأن الله عز وجل هو المالك المتصرف في جميع المخلوقات، وأن يحب لقاء الله تبارك وتعالى، وأن يعلم علم اليقين أنه لولا فضل الله عليه ورحمته لكان من الخاسرين. يعني لو تتأمل أنك لم تكن مسلما، انظر إلى الخسارة العظيمة، ستكون من حطب جهنم والعياذ بالله. فلنحمد الله عز وجل، ولنحب ربنا عز وجل، ولنقدره حق قدره. ثم بعد ذلك محبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي أرسله ربنا تبارك وتعالى فضلا منه ورحمة. وهذا الرسول بين لنا طرق الشر وطريق الخير، ووضح لنا كل شيء، ما من خير إلا ودل أمته عليه، وما من شر إلا حذر الأمة منه.
نعم. Also it has been narrated in Sahihain Muslim and Bukhari, also from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, that a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking him about the hour. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, what have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for it? Yani meaning that what actions have you prepared for it, for you to ask about when the hour will be established. So the man, he replied, he said, I did not prepare yani much actions or much deeds for, yani such as prayers and fasting and charity. However, I have prepared for it the love of Allah and His Messenger. The love of Allah and His Messenger. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, so you are with those whom you love. Now, so from this hadith we take or we understand that the person must love Allah and also must appreciate Him the way he deserves to be appreciated. And also it is upon the Muslim and the Muslimah to know the Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed of worship, and the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Lordship, and the Tawheed of names and attributes. And also to understand and acknowledge that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Malik, He's the owner and Mutasarrif, the one who deals with yani all of His creation. And also he should love meeting Allah Azza wa Jal, and should know with certainty that if it was not for the virtue of Allah and His mercy, then he would have been from the losers. And if the person was to ponder over yani if the possibility that he was not a Muslim, naam, and how yani in great loss he would be, and how he would be from the yani fuel of hellfire. So let us love Allah Azza wa Jal and acknowledge yani and appreciate Him the way He deserves to be appreciated. After that comes the love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who Allah has sent as a virtue from Him and also as a mercy. And this messenger clarified for the people the paths of evil and the paths of good. There's not any path of good except that he showed it and he guided his nation or his ummah to. And there's not path of any evil except that he warned his ummah from taking.
زعمت بعض فرق الضلال والبدع أنهم يحبون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيقيمون له الموالد مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويحتفلون بذلك اليوم حتى أن بعضهم يصل إلى حد الكفر فيقول منشدهم هذا الحبيب مع الأحباب قد حضر وسامح الكل فيما قد مضى وجرى يعني يظنون أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي يغفر الذنوب وهذا من الكفر لأن المغفرة لله عز وجل هو الغفور الرحيم في زعمهم أنهم يتذكرون الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم والله لو كان كما زعموا لسبقهم إليه أكابر الصحابة أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وبقية العشرة وبقية الصحابة أجمعين ولكن إنما هي الأهواء والبدع والضلال أملى عليهم الشيطان ذلك الأمر فاتبعوه يريد أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا.
Now, some people claim, some of the deviated parties and groups from the people of innovation and misguidance, they claim that they have love for the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore they would establish and carry out mawalid, celebrating the birthday of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they hold parties and celebrate so much so that some of them even reach the level of kufr, of disbelief, and they say in a line of poetry, they say that this is the dear one he attended with the other dear ones, and he will forgive the sins of everyone. He will forgive the sins of everyone. And this is disbelief, because Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the only one that forgives the sins. So those people, they claim that they have love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's how they justify their actions. However, if what they were claiming was correct or was true, then the Sahaba, such as Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and the 10 that were promised paradise, and the rest of them, they would have preceded them in this type of action, in this type of celebration. However, it is the innovations and the desires that they have that led them to this, and also the shaitan misguided them and they followed him.
نَعُودُ إِلَى محبة الله ومحبة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي في الصحيحين رواه عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله كيف تقول في رجل أحب قوما ولما يلحق بهم فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحب. قال الإمام الحسن البصري رحمه الله تعليقا على بعض هذه الأحاديث هذا الحديث والذي قبله قال إن من أحب قوما اتبع آثارهم يعني أن يكون أو أن تكون المحبة صادقة باتباع الأثر أن تعمل بعملهم وتسير على نهجهم وطريقهم ولن تلحق الأبرار حتى تتبع آثارهم يعني لن تكون معهم حتى تسير في الخط الذي ساروا عليه وساروا فيه المنهج الذي اتبعوه وتأخذ بهديهم يعني بسنتهم وطريقتهم وتقتدي بسنتهم وتمسي وتصبح وأنت على منهاجهم يعني على العمل الذي كانوا يعملونه حريصا أن تكون منهم حتى وإن كنت قصرت في العمل لكن تتمنى يعني تحب أن تعمل أعمالهم ولكن كما تعلمون الناس يتفاوتون في الإيمان وفي الأعمال وفي كذا يعني يتفاوت الناس في الأعمال فقد ورد وجاء في الأثر أنه لو وزن إيمان أبي بكر بإيمان الأمة لرجح إيمان أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه ولو وزن إيمان عمر بإيمان الأمة لرجح إيمان عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه عن الصحابة أجمعين. يتفاوتون في الإيمان ويتفاوتون في الأعمال الصالحة، من حيث قيام الليل، من حيث الصلاة والمحافظة عليها، من حيث الأذكار، من حيث الخشية والخوف من الله تبارك وتعالى، يتفاوت الناس. نكمل قول
الحسن.
يقول: فإن ملاك الأمر أن تكون على استقامة، يعني على الطريق المستقيم. أما رأيت اليهود والنصارى وأهل الأهواء الردية يزعمون أنهم يحبون أنبياءهم وليسوا معهم؟ لأنهم، انظروا إلى السبب، لأنهم خالفوهم في القول والعمل وسلكوا غير طريقهم، فصار موردهم النار والعياذ بالله.
نعم. So we return to our topic, which is the love of Allah and His Messenger. In the hadith, which is narrated in Sahihain, on authority of Ibn Mas'ud, he said that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said that a man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to him, "O Messenger of Allah, what do you say about a man? He loved يعني a group of people, but he did not يعني follow them, or he did not يعني reach them in their actions, in their righteous actions." So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab." The man is with those whom he loves. Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, as a commentary on this hadith, the hadith which preceded, that when a person loves a group of people, then he would follow their way. He would follow their way. And you will not be able to follow the way of the pious ones, except by what trying to follow their narrations and the way they the path that they traversed. Naam. And that you take their guidance, and also you take their sunan and their way, and you spend the day and the night upon their methodology, يعني their actions, and while also يعني adhering and trying your hardest to be from them, even if you were deficient or had shortcomings in your actions. Because the main thing is that the person he loves and he strives to be like them. And the people are different. They vary in this is not the speech of Hasan al-Basri, but the people they vary in their actions. Some of them are different from others. It has been narrated authentically narrated that if the iman or if the faith of Abu Bakr was weighed against the faith of the whole of the nation, the faith of Abu Bakr will outweigh the faith of the nation. And likewise for Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah please with them all and the rest of the companions. So the people, they vary in their iman and their faith, and also they vary in their actions, in their righteous actions, such as يعني praying the night prayer and remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and fearing Allah Azza wa Jal, and the rest of the righteous deeds. Then continuing, Al-Hasan al-Basri said, رحمه الله. نعم. So يعني the most firm يعني affair is that the person has to be upon استقامة, upon يعني uprightness. Have you not looked towards the Jews and the Christians and the people of desire? They claim that they love their prophets, however they are not with them, or they are not from them. This is because they have opposed them in speech and action, and they took a path other than their path, so their fate became the hellfire.
ثم نتحدث عن موضوع مهم يرفع صاحبه يوم القيامة درجات عاليات، ويكون من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. موضوع لا يحتاج إلى جهد ولا إلى كثرة عمل، ولكن يحتاج إلى أن يتدبره المسلم والمسلمة، ألا وهو التحاب في الله عز وجل. وكم من نصوص وردت في القرآن وفي السنة تدل على فضله، فمن القرآن قول الله عز وجل: الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين، يعني الذين بينهم تحاب من أجل الله عز وجل، ليس على مصالح دنيوية، وإنما من أجل الله وفي الله عز وجل. وقد جاء في الحديث عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن من عباد الله لأناسا، يعني مجموعة ناس، أناس مجموعة من الناس، ليسوا بأنبياء، ما هم بأنبياء ولا شهداء، يعني ليسوا ممن اصطفاهم الله واختارهم للنبوة والرسالة، ولا هم من الشهداء الذين قتلوا في المعارك لإعلاء كلمة الله، يغبطهم الأنبياء والشهداء. والغبطة هو تمني الحصول على ما هو عند الناس من غير أن يزول ما عندهم، لأن الحسد أن تتمنى زوال نعمة من أنعم الله عليه بنعمة، أما الغبطة فأنت تتمنى أن تكون مثله مع بقاء ما معه معهم. هذا الفرق بين الحسد وبين الغبطة. يقول: يغبطهم الأنبياء والشهداء يوم القيامة بمكانهم من الله عز وجل، يعني في المكانة التي يضعهم فيها رب العزة والجلال. قالوا: يا رسول الله، تخبرنا بهم، يعني تبين لنا من هم هؤلاء؟ قال: هم قوم تحابوا بروح الله على غير أرحام بينهم، ليس بينهم قرابة ولا صلة رحم، تحابوا بروح الله عز وجل على غير أرحام بينهم ولا أموال يتعاطونها، يعني ليست بينهم تجارة أو بينهم أعمال مشتركة. فوالله، يقسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فوالله إن وجوههم لنور، وجوههم نور، وإنهم على نور، لا يخافون إذا خاف الناس، ولا يحزنون إذا حزن الناس. وقرأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الآية: ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. نسأل الله أن نكون منهم. وكما تعلمون في حديث السبعة: الذين يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله، حديث أبي هريرة في الصحيحين، ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وافترقا عليه. وأيضا كثير من الأحاديث، ربما وقت الصلاة تدخل
نكمل الفقرة،
إن شاء الله نكملها في اللقاء القادم بحول الله.
توقف.
نعم
نعم. After that we talk about the topic of يعني some people whom Allah Azza wa Jal will raise in a day of judgment with يعني many ranks. And there will be from those who there is no fear upon them, and they should not grieve. And this topic or this issue here does not require any يعني hardship or يعني a lot of actions. However, it requires the person to ponder over it. And this issue or this affair is the love or يعني the love of one another in for Allah's sake. And how many narrations are found in the Quran and the Sunnah which indicate the virtue of the love, يعني the love of one another for Allah's sake? Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, "Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'dhum li ba'dhin adun illa al-muttaqin." The close ones or the pious ones or the friends on that day, they will be enemies to one another except those who have piety. So those people, they loved each other for the sake of Allah, not for any worldly gains or any benefits. Rather, they only loved each other for the sake of Allah. It has been narrated in a hadith on the authority of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Verily, there are those, or there are some people from the slaves of Allah, they are not prophets nor martyrs." Yani meaning that they are not from those who Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen for his message, or they are not from the martyrs who fought for the sake of Allah in the battles to raise the word of Allah or the statement of Allah. Now, to continue with the hadith, so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, they will be rightfully envied by the prophets and the messengers. And the word used here is ghibtah, and this one is the lawful and the justified type of envy. And the difference between this one and the prohibited envy is that the ghibtah is you wish for something which a person has without wishing that that is taken from him. You wish you have the same thing as another person, but you don't wish that this thing, this particular thing that he has, will be taken away from him. As for the prohibited envy, is that you wish for something which a person has to be taken from him and to be given to you. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will be rightfully envied by the prophets and the messengers. Due to their rank with Allah, due to their rank which they will hold with Allah. They said, the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, would you not tell us about them? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are a group of people, they loved each other for the sake of Allah, without having any kinship between them, without giving wealth to one another. It's not for the purpose of wealth, such as business and occupations and jobs and so on. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continues and says, and by Allah, he swears by Allah, that their faces have light. Their faces are light. And they are upon light. They do not fear when the people are fearful. And they would not grieve when the people feel, when the people grieve. And he recited after that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, the companions or the friends of Allah, there is no fear upon them, there is no fear for them, and they shall not grieve. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from them. And likewise also in the hadith of the seven people who will be shaded by Allah's throne in that day, or in a day where there will be no shade except Allah's shade. The hadith which was narrated by Abu Hurairah in Sahihain, that he said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the description of those seven people who would be shaded, and two men, they loved each other, or two people who loved each other for the sake of Allah, they united upon they united for Allah's sake, and they departed for Allah's sake. And our noble brother Abu Hatim Allah Bazam, he said, we'll stop here inshallah for the salah. And
إضافة بسيطة ولا أطيل عليكم إن شاء الله معذرة أن هذه المحبة قد تكون بين الأخ وأخيه من أمه وأبيه، وقد تكون بين الإبن وأبيه، وتكون بين الأخت المسلمة وأختها المسلمة، وبين الرجل وزوجته. ولكن يحتسب في مثل هذا، ينوي أن المحبة تكون لله عز وجل، وليبشر بالخير الذي وعد به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الحديث. وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
نعم. Our noble Abu Hatim, Allah preserve him and be good to him, he said, just to add lastly something, and I will not prolong it, is that this love for Allah's sake can take place as well between the brother and his blood brother as well, such likewise between the father, or between the son and the father, and between the sister and her sister, and also between the man and his wife, as long as that the person, he has ihtisab, he seeks the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that he intends he loves the person for Allah's sake. He has this intention. And also he has to make it for Allah's sake. And let him have glad tidings of the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith mentioned previously. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.